The reading is taken from Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 to 8, and you'll find it in your church Bibles on page 1249. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death." So I'm just going to pray for Will as he comes to bring our reading. our message. So Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for Will. And we just ask for your Holy Spirit to come now upon him, fill him up, and give us this message so that we would have hearts and minds ready to hear what you have to say for us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, this is a lovely sermon to preach because we've talked about judgment. We then talked about hell. Then we had the crib service. And it's my joy and delight to speak to you about heaven. And I actually get quite emotional when I look at this passage and I just am reminded of what God has in store for us, the other side of this life. And I think there's lots of misconceptions about what heaven is going to look like. And I wonder what you think heaven is going to look like. Please don't tell me that you're thinking clouds and you're going to be given some white dress and a pair of wings and you're going to spend all eternity playing a little harp, okay? No. There's nothing in Scripture that says that's what heaven is going to be like, okay? That's a very damp, boring, uninspiring. Yeah, okay. Well, you might like to do a bit of flying if you had wings, but anyway. But for Paul, writing in Philippians, we get this sense of how excited he is about heaven. He says, "I desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is better by far," which is better by far. So let's have a look at this. I'm going to have four P's for us this morning. And the first is heaven is physical. In our reading, it says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away." Okay, so there's nothing about clouds in there. Everything is renewed. Everything is made new. A wonderful picture of that is my old Land Rover, which was very decrepit. It has been made new. I nearly bought it this morning, but you know, I just decided not to. It's been made new meticulously. You know, in some ways, it's even better than when it left the factory, a few little additions and modifications. But the point is, all that old rust, all the seized bits and pieces, all the cracked this, all the bad paintwork, it's all been stripped away. And it is being renewed. It's wonderful. And that's what it's going to be like, this new creation. And our world is real. It's physical. It's solid. And so will the new creation be like this. Our bodies will be made new. We're not going to be floating around in some kind of spirit realm. Jesus' resurrection body is the prototype for this. And, you know, when we get to Easter, think about the Easter story, because one minute Jesus is sharing a barbecue on a beach and he's eating, okay, and the next minute he's being teleported instantaneously and appearing through a locked door. So, of course, God operates outside our scientific knowledge, outside our dimensions of time and space and distance. I know it's the sort of stuff we see in Star Wars movies and Star Trek and all the rest of it, but we will have a new resurrection body. Not 100% sure exactly, I can't describe it in any great detail, but Jesus has shown us the way. He is the prototype resurrection body. Okay, and we like the aspect of our physicality, don't we? You know, we like to play sports, we like to eat, but equally our physical nature brings with it some issues. We can become insecure about our physical nature. You know, we spend a huge amount of money on makeup, on gym membership, if you're me, Pilates, and stuff like that, because, you know, we're slightly insecure about our bodies. You know, we want to make them keep going and stuff. And then, of course, as we get older and older and older, disease happens. Sometimes it happens when we're not old, but generally speaking, our bodies slowly start to deteriorate. So there are problems with our physicality, but we will have our bodies redeemed. They will be made new in heaven. We won't just be some ethereal spirits floating around. And we will never need to be worried or concerned or insecure about our bodies again. C.S. Lewis in the Chronicles of Narnia talks about this life as the shadow land. And it's an interesting concept. Because if you go out, I mean, the sun is shining at the moment, but you know, let's say you go out and the day is overcast, there's no direct sunlight. You can enjoy the view, you can enjoy the colors, you can still enjoy nature. It all looks fantastic, doesn't it? But when the clouds separate and the sun shines, it's a different ball game, isn't it? It's like the curtains are drawn. You start seeing things in their real color, in their real nature. You think, wow, that's incredible. It's not that there was kind of anything particularly wrong when there was no direct sunlight, but this direct sunlight reveals the magnificence in a way you couldn't grasp when the sun was shielded by clouds. That's, I think, where C.S. Lewis is coming from, describing our present life as the shadowlands. And he says, heaven is the full reality. So the second P is that the new creation is going to be populated. Okay, so trigger warning for the introverts amongst us. Verse 2, I saw the holy city prepared as a bride. What he sees first is the holy city, not in the sense of skyscrapers and stuff like that, but cities are defined by their population. So what he's seeing is masses and masses of people. And I don't know about you, but actually, I remember when I was in my 20s, I went on an army exercise to Canada, and I thought I'd go and spend my R&R in LA and go and visit Hollywood, and you know, it's a big city, it's going to be so cool. I have never been so lonely in my life. I had no friends there at all. I stayed in some sort of travel lodge or something like that, and honestly didn't know what to do with myself. Quick red herring, there was a Gideon's Bible by my bed, and actually I ended up reading the book of Revelation, but anyway, that's just suddenly come to me. But you know, cities can be lonely, but there won't be any loneliness in the new creation, the new heavenly city, because everybody, all the people, will be in relationship. Have you ever sort of fought your way through a crowd of complete strangers? So think Oxford Street in London, think Corn Market in Oxford. There's all these people, you know, and to be honest, you know, half of them you look at, you know, crumbs, you know, they're in real dire straits, you know. And perhaps you're searching for your loved one who's at the cash machine at the far end of the street, and you're sort of ploughing your way through all these people. Heaven will be completely different, because all the people you will be in relationship with, because they will be your brothers and sisters in Christ. It will be like, it's hard to describe, but it will be just like constantly. I'll tell you what it'll be like. It'll be like for me at church, when there's loads of people. I know everybody at church, and I'm immediately looking at people, and I know what's going on in your lives, and I'm loving you because I've been praying for you. It's just a completely different dynamic to a normal city. The heavenly city will be full of exclusively loved ones. And the third P, it's going to be personal. Our reading says, they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. Now this, in theology terms, we call is a covenant refrain. Okay, it's a refrain, it's a repeated, like, chorus line of a line that has appeared many, many times throughout Scripture. It's called a covenant refrain. And it's there because God wants us back. Remember, in the Old Testament, God was always saying, you know, I will be your God and you will be my people. And if you follow my commandments, nothing's going to go wrong. But, you know, so it's this repetition. And now, finally, we have this at the very end of the Bible. It's because God wants us back. Okay, this is important. Not like a shepherd wants his sheep back. Okay, so that's a really strong biblical image all the way through the New Testament. The shepherd and his sheep. Jesus is the great shepherd. But get this. God wants us back as a lover wants his bride, or she wants her bridegroom. It just takes it to a massively new level. We're not just sheep following a shepherd anymore, okay? This image of the new creation has got this image of it being a wedding. We're being prepared as a bride. And so it's terribly exciting. So it's like God is singing, he's wooing us. Come back, come back. I read the story of a young woman who was going out with her boyfriend, and they'd been going out for a while, and she'd had a very, very checkered past, lots of unsatisfactory, unsavory, damaging relationships involving all sorts of bad stuff, and she'd never told him anything about this, and the relationship was getting to the kind of stage where, you know, they were beginning to talk about marriage, and she knew in her heart she had to tell her boyfriend about her past, because if he found out after they were married, you know, it was so significant that he might say, whoa, you know, you never told me this, we can't be married anymore. And so tearfully she sits there at this restaurant, this table, and just spills all the beans of her past to her boyfriend. Everything that had gone wrong in her life, the abuse she'd suffered, all the stuff she'd got up to, which was, you know, really not good. And she said, I suppose that's the end of our relationship, isn't it? And he gets up from his table and he walks around and he kneels by her and he says, That doesn't matter at all. That doesn't matter at all. I love you, whatever. Will you marry me? That's what it is going to be like. The new creation is described as a wedding day. That is how much joy and excitement there will be there. Fourthly, it will be perfect. Verse 4, he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Isn't that incredible? Jesus will be so close to us. I know he's close to us now by his Holy Spirit, but he'll be just like here. You'll be able to put your arms around Jesus. We won't need faith anymore. How tough is it when bad things happen to us to cling to Jesus, to believe his promises? It's difficult. Nobody said being a Christian was easy. But we won't have any problems in heaven because Jesus is going to be with us. We won't need faith anymore. He will be there in front of our very eyes, able to wrap us in a real physical hug. I wonder what is giving you cause for grief today. Is it a bereavement? Is it an illness? Is it a death? Is it the loss of a child, a loved one? Is it being single? Is it being in a difficult relationship? Is it because you're addicted to something or some things? What is it that is now making you inwardly cry, if not outwardly cry? Heaven has brought a decisive new word into the vocabulary of death and suffering and pain and disappointment. And that word is temporary. It's temporary. I don't see my wife and my son temporarily. Isn't that marvelous? Because for a Christian, death isn't the end. This is a temporary situation. It's still hell to go through, but you know it is still temporary. Imagine a world without heartbreak, without loneliness, without death, without cemeteries, without prisons. You don't even need handkerchiefs and tissues in heaven. And there'll be no regrets either. You need to understand this. I know we all want our loved ones to be in heaven with us, but please understand that when we're in heaven, if there is a loved one who is not there with us, we are not going to be weeping because they are not with us. We are not going to be filled with regret. It's a difficult dynamic to get your head around. I remember when I had been bereaved, I went skiing. And, you know, obviously I carried my grief around me 24/7. And I remember going up to the top of this mountain. Those of you who've been skiing will completely get this. Apologies if you haven't. But, you know, there's all these people and you're stuck on the telecabine and, you know, you're holding your skis and you get all the way up the top. Sometimes you're in the shadow of the mountain, so it's a bit gloomy. And you get out at the top. And it's like you can see it is just the most awe-inspiring sight you can imagine. And at that moment, I was so blown away by the glory of creation, it took my grief away. And that is what heaven is going to be like. It's going to be so incredible, so awe-inspiring, that all our pain will just be washed away. It will be that incredible because it will be perfect. It's physical, it's going to be populated, it's personal, and it's perfect. And this is the world we as Christians are commanded to raise our eyes to. to set our hearts upon, to set our minds upon. This is what should give us hope through the trials and tribulations of our life. This is why I am so passionate about telling people about Jesus Christ. That's why we're running the Alpha course in January. And this is just like the best thing that it's beyond our imagination, which is why we need to be inviting people to come on Alpha. So they too can be where Jesus is, and we will be one day. And Gwyl and Pam are at the back in their red t-shirts. If you've got any questions about Alpha, they've got a little table set up at the back. Do go and speak to them. But this is what the followers of Jesus have to look forward to. In C.S. Lewis's book, The Great Divorce, hell is actually the shadow land. So there's people walking around doing their day-to-day stuff, but you know, there isn't really bright sunshine and there are no great views and everything's a bit dark and dismal, but it's just what they're used to. And so they don't notice it. And the amazing story is they get transported to heaven. And as those of you who heard Keith Hagen's really good talk, if you missed it, I just really strongly commend it to you on our YouTube channel. He says the reality of heaven was so incredible that the grass was so amazing to look at that they were fearful of stepping on the grass because its clarity made it look sort of sharp. You know, it was just this amazing new reality. And some people got back on the bus to go back to hell because they couldn't kind of cope with this, or with the awesomeness, because that's what their choice was. Death isn't the end for those who put their faith in Jesus Christ. And heaven will be beyond our wildest dreams. I'm excited about it. Did that kind of... Yeah, it did, yeah. I just want to say I'm very happy to wait a little bit longer. I think my wife will be very pleased to hear that. I'm very happy to wait, you know, quite a few more years. But when it comes, I shall be seriously looking forward to it. Right, we're going to move straight into communion now.